Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 33 of Could It Be Podcast. Today we're sharing Amanda's story. If you're on Instagram, you may know Amanda as the Holistic Beauty Coach. She spreads awareness for breast implant illness as well as sharing other ventures such as the Breast Balm, which is a product that she's releasing a bit later on this year, and also the Lymph Lounge website. Amanda shares her story through working in the beauty industry for over 20 years, having breast implants for about 15 years, and finding out about breast implant illness through to explant surgery. She went through two sets of breast implants, including some that she was told were going to be tracked, considering they were made of silicone, which was not approved at the time. So that's about all from me. Enjoy Amanda's story. So we have a very special guest on the podcast today. How are you, Amanda?
Well, hello, Bianca. So happy to be here today.
Thank you. Start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're joining us from today.
Oh, I'm joining you from Los Angeles, California. I have worked in the beauty industry, kind of all areas from day spa to med spa to plastic surgery for over 20 years. And I've been speaking out for the last almost 4 years about my experience with breast implant illness.
Thank you for being here with us today. What was your initial reason for getting breast implants?
I got breast implants for the first time in 2003, saline, for a breast, I like to call it reformity, not deformity, make it all positive, a tuberous breast syndrome. There are a couple of different, there's Poland syndrome, there's tuberous breasts. Tuberous breasts are actually a lot more common than people think, just not a lot of people talk about it. Mm-hmm. I had that a very mild... Yeah, you do. And I had a very mild case. I tried to have it corrected for the first time with surgery. Didn't really make a difference. And so the plastic surgeon suggested that I get breast implants.
It's, yeah, what they do, isn't it? They just take that as an opportunity to pop them in.
If you think about, like, it really does. The issue with tuberous breasts is the tissue doesn't expand. It didn't expand in my case. And it was very tight and constricted through my chest. And I mean, it is a solution, I will say. And it gave me a regular breast, albeit I never really cared for them myself. And I had to get a second set a year later because I got a capsular contracture in one of them. But
within a year, is that how quick?
Yeah. Wow. Actually, like, right away, I got it. And sometimes it can improve on its own if it's not very severe. But mine didn't. And so a year later, I went to replace them and the same surgeon I went to wasn't available. She was on maternity leave. So I went to a new surgeon who actually did studies for the manufacturer. I thought I was in really great hands. And he said, well, I think we should do silicone when we replace these. And that's a really interesting part of my story because silicone was actually banned from the market.
Yeah, there was a period of time in the US where it was banned.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I were saying, and even though I was only 20 something, I said, oh, I thought that silicone was bad. And he said, oh no, these are new and improved. We're going to track you in a study. So we'll know if anything's gone wrong. Well, they never tracked me in a study. I actually never heard about it again. And it's interesting today because I have a lot of followers who got those same implants and they too were never followed in a study. And if we had been followed, they would have seen that I was having hormonal dysfunction within 9 months of getting the breast implants.
It's all happening so quickly. So the capsular contracture within a year, the hormonal imbalances within 9 months. Mm-hmm. There you go. Was it only the two sets that you had? Did you have any other ones before you explanted?
Yeah, I had breast implants for a total of 15 years. Like I said, the hormonal disruption started in the first 9 months. I had the capsular contracture. And then I would see the inflammation definitely in my body because I've always been very thin. And I was always noticing like 5 to 10 pounds would come and go, which inflammation can do that. But not knowing enough about it, I just thought like, oh, I'm just gaining weight, which just wasn't my body type. But then I had larger breasts. So it kind of made sense. Like it all kind of went together. Mm-hmm. Like I put on a little bit of weight and I've always, I guess, been a little too skinny. So I don't think anybody would have looked at it as abnormal. Let's put it that way. And then as time went on, I had a fender bender. Somebody hit me from behind. It was not a serious accident. And that was in 2012. And then about 6 months later, I had kind of a very stressful emotional situation. So But after the fender bender, what was interesting is the amount of pain in my body, the inflammation. It didn't make sense to anyone because it wasn't a very severe accident, like I said. But you would have thought I got hit by a Mack truck. And it makes sense now that it was. Yeah. So it can happen with our immune system. You know, I was probably teetering on the edge, and then boom, that car accident followed by another stressful situation caused almost 40 symptoms to come out.
Wow, 40. So how did you find out about breast implant illness, and what were those symptoms?
Well, sadly, and that's again why I'm speaking out, is that I was working in the plastic surgery industry all during the time I was sick, 2012 to 2019, I was explanted. There was only one time that I saw an article, People Magazine, Crystal Hefner, saying that her implants made her sick. That was 2016, I think. And I remember saying to my boss at the time, a plastic surgeon, who was old enough to know about the moratorium on the silicone, and he was primarily a breast surgeon. I mean, there's so many ironies. It's also the only time in my career that I sold breast implants, from 2015 to 2017. I was doing other things or working in facial plastics before. I said, I have goosebumps. Is that what's wrong? I said at the time, do I need to replace my implants? And he said, oh, this woman sounds crazy. Amanda, don't listen to women like this. There is no illness that makes you sick from your breast implants. And that's where I went wrong. I really should have trusted my gut because I got the goosebumps, and I should have done some research. And I just would like, you know, that would be my advice to anyone, you know, when you hear things like that. But, and again, I thought this man had my best interest, right? He's a surgeon. He's a breast surgeon primarily. He would later do something about a year later before I left the job that would make me realize he was not a good guy.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, or maybe that was just, that's his opinion that it doesn't exist. But I mean, he definitely worked during the 10 years that silicone breast implants were not available, because he was in his 60s when I was working for him. So.
Wow. So talk us through those symptoms that you had.
Oh, so it's interesting. It started with a wave of vertigo one day, mm-hmm. and it was in December of 2012. And I remember clutching onto the countertop, to the kitchen counter, and happened to have someone there, a doctor, a friend, saw that. I don't even know how she caught it. And she's like, what was that? And I said, I don't know. I just feel really dizzy, like lightheaded. And I'm not a person who ever gets lightheaded or has any dizziness. So it was something different. And in the days to follow, it was a feeling in my chest. I kept rubbing my chest like this for years during the time I was sick. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It was just like my hand just went there, as if to, I think it is like massive inflammation is what the feeling was. So anyway, this was December. I'm not one that gets sick a lot. But after a while of feeling like this, I did say to myself, gosh, is it like bronchitis or something? Because I've never felt this before. Go to the doctor, checks me out, says you have first it was pleurisy, excuse me, pleurisy. Okay. And I said, what's that? Oh, it's an inflammation of the chest wall. And I said, well, why would I have that? Well, maybe you were sick and you just didn't realize it. Okay, that makes sense, right? I said, how do I get it better? Oh, just let it be. It will get better on its own. So that's the end of January. I waited a whole month before I went to the doctor or more. February goes, March goes. So April, I'm going to Arizona in that dry climate for springtime, like a vacation. And I thought it would be really great on my chest. You know, it would feel better. I felt so bad on that trip. I can't even tell you. Dizzy, not right, the chest feeling. Ugh, I just didn't feel well at all. So when I came home, I got right off the plane and I went straight to the ER. And I said, something's wrong. It's not getting better. And I'm kind of scared at this point. Like something's just really not right. So I've just gotten back from Arizona. You know, I'm tan. Like at this point, I wasn't looking unhealthy yet. So I'm at the, they're taking all the tests. And finally, they have the head of the ER come down, the head doctor. And he said, let me take your pulse. And he does. And then he says, and now walk around the corridor. And then I come back and he takes my pulse again. I mean, we did this for like 10 minutes. And I finally stopped. I said, wait, why are we doing this? And he's like, because I'm looking at you and you look healthy. Because I did. I looked pretty healthy still at the time. And he said, but your pulse is like that of someone who's almost dead. Like, it's so low. So I hear one of the technicians like behind him say, test her D-dimer. And I looked at him like, you know, what's that? And he said, oh, D-dimer will tell us if you're going to have a stroke. Oh. Now, I had just gotten off the airplane.
Yeah, so it's a DBT. Like,
oh my gosh, right? That totally made sense to me at the time. I said, oh, I just got off an airplane. So I'm laying there waiting to take the test. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, at least I'm in the hospital somewhere safe. But I think this is going to change my life if that's what this is, right? I'm going to have to go on some sort of medication, or you take the scan and it's fine. There is nothing wrong. So I stayed there as long as I could. I really actually did like that ER doctor. I wish I could find him again because he really did care. And he reached out to my primary care and he said, I think you should see your patient tomorrow. You know, I don't know her. I know that she had had pleurisy, but something's not right. And I can't figure out what it is. Like, he was really concerned. And that's
amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
So I did go to my surgeon, my primary care that week. And again, she's like, okay, now we're going to call it costochondritis. Still an inflammation of the chest wall. And I said, okay, well, why would I have costochondritis? Oh, well, didn't you say you got in a car accident last February? And I said, yes, it was just a fender bender. And she's like, that's probably it from the seatbelt. And I said, okay, well, what do I do to make this better? Because it's not getting better. She gave me a steroid. I took that for a week, even against my better judgment, but it did start feeling a little better. And then she said, you're just going to have to not use your chest muscles. And I said, well, how do you not use your chest muscles?
You use them for
opening a jar and flushing the toilet and opening the door. She's like, I don't know. And I said, well, for how long? She's like, I don't know, 6-8 months. Like, how do you not use your... So I, ding dong, like, even though I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, I take the summer off. I'm like, I am just going to relax, do yoga, ride my bike on the trail, and see if this gets better. It didn't make any difference. And then more symptoms started, the thyroid imbalance, my hair started falling out. I was having lymphatic stagnation. My limbs were so puffy. I gained up to 57 pounds of inflammation.
I think that's around 25 kilos for anyone that's on sort of metric scales. Like, that's a lot. Like, and especially like, you're quite tiny, you know, like you were saying.
Yeah. And so it looks staggering. I didn't even look like myself. I look like the Michelin man. And yet, the scariest part was you go to doctors thinking that they're supposed to help you in these situations and they're not taking it seriously. They are not really listening. They're saying that nothing's wrong. You just have anxiety. I said, no, look at me. I am so swollen. It's, oh no, you've just gained a couple pounds, you know, like as if I have an eating disorder or something, gaslighting me. And it was such a horrible experience. And I would have never known that while I'm going through this, so are so many women around the globe that we just had no idea. I wasn't really even active on social media, so I wouldn't have been reading about any of this. And so it hurts my heart that so many of us were suffering at that same time.
Definitely. And you hear so many people say that their doctor tells them, oh, you've just got anxiety or depression, and that's what's causing these symptoms to appear, and I'll put in quotation marks because I don't think they believe us a lot of the time. Right. And it's just horrible that like there could be years of people's lives that they're losing because they've got these symptoms. And if, you know, if they didn't have anxiety and depression, you know, when the doctor was telling them, they would end it with it anyway, because they feel like their bodies, like people talk about the fact that they feel like they're dying. My way of saying it is I felt like my body was giving up on me, like slowly over time. Like I was
you know, in my early 30s when a lot of this was happening. And similar to you, I had been through a surgery which was quite traumatic, and then an emotional trauma as well, which I think exacerbated things for me. And you know, I didn't have any doctors telling me that. They kind of just like, oh, these blood tests look okay. And that was it. I just sort of went and found my own answers and tried looking for different vitamins and supplements and things that I could be taking to try and improve my life. But yeah, you just hear it too much. It's horrible. Like, it shouldn't be happening.
And that's why I really fell in love with holistic medicine. So in 2012, when I started getting sick, ironically, working for a plastic surgeon who I was trying to incorporate more of a holistic vibe to the practice, he had a German naturopath working there. And he's such a lovely man. In fact, he's like my mentor, and I still talk to him today. He's so healthy and he loves helping people, and it's so beautiful. And I said, Dr. Lauren, I need you to teach me everything you can about the human body, because I'm not getting any help. I need to figure this out. And if I wasn't at work, you know, working every day to pay the enormous bills that I had, hundreds of thousands of dollars I spent in 7.5 years, from hospital visits that are, you know, so pricey, even when you had insurance. But when Western medicine didn't work for me, I had to start seeing all Eastern practitioners. One consult can be $500. You walk out with $2,000 worth of supplements. Mm-hmm. And I just intuitively knew the supplements are not going to help. Okay, why is my Epstein-Barr virus active? Okay, I get it that that might be what's making me tired. Okay, I don't even remember having Epstein-Barr virus, like, you know, being actually sick at home in bed ever. Yeah. Obviously, I've came into contact with it. It's a virus. Okay. But why is it active? What's the root cause? Yeah. So low. Nobody could tell me that. Nobody, not even the naturopaths. And hey, I know that their hearts were in the right place, but I do feel too, I was supposed to go through those 7.5 years. I really was. So I could really relate to these women because I would be helping them in the future. Because let's face it, if I found out within 6 months and just took them out, well, then I would have gotten better. I wouldn't have really hit my rock bottom, let's say. I feel in the end, right before I found my amazing surgeon, I hit my rock bottom. And I remember just praying and just asking to please be saved. I'll do anything. I just cannot go on like this one more day. Yeah. And that's surgery.
So what sort of took you from finding the article where you like found out about breast implant illness to actually getting to the point where you really acknowledged that it was that?
Right. Well, so that was, like I said, 2016. So it would take me another 2.5 years to hear it again. And it actually was a colonic practitioner. I went to a new woman because mine wasn't available. And at the end of my session, and I didn't really even get into how sick I had been. I just mentioned, you know, I have a stagnant lymph and I don't know why. She said, I think I know why you're sick. And I said, really? Because I mean, I'm all ears. I just seen that I've seen 67 other practitioners and nobody seemed to know. And she said, I think it's your breast implants. And I remember actually being defensive at first and saying, did you happen to see what I do for a living? Plastics. And I've never had any patients come in complaining of these symptoms. And she's like, okay, well, I've had 11 clients just this year alone. And they look and sound like you. And when they get them out, they've all gotten better. So I just took it in, but like it wasn't necessarily resonating with me. But it was over the course of the next couple of weeks, it was like every day there was another sign like that. I had a guy friend call me who I hadn't talked to in a while. He's like, you're still feeling sick. He goes, you know, you should call my neighbor. She sounds just like you. I call this woman. I don't even know really. And I said, this is what I'm feeling. She's like, I think it's your breast implants. I said, you're saying this too? And she said, well, same thing happened to me. I got them out 3 years ago. Then I saw a billboard that said something about breast implants. So it was actually a doctor friend who I saw within like a week or two from that initial introduction to it. I know. The gal I spoke to said, you have to get in this Facebook group. Facebook group had over 100,000 women at the time, all sounding like me. My hair is falling out. I can't walk up a flight of stairs. And so that was, I kind of felt like, did I just enter the Twilight Zone? Like, there are this many women who are feeling just like I've been feeling. And could this be the answer? And then I'm like kind of thinking, well, there were a lot of women who were sick in the 90s, right? And I haven't addressed my implants at all because I'd been so sick and just addressing other issues, but nothing's getting better no matter how much money I throw at it. So I saw a friend, a male doctor, and I just casually mentioned it to him. I said, oh, you'll never believe what they think is wrong now. Like, I wanted him to talk me out of it. Mm. And he said, what? And I said, they think my breast implants are making me sick. And he got so serious and looked at me. I wasn't expecting that, like genuinely concerned. And he said, you know, that's happened to several of my patients recently. And if you think that's what it is, you need to get those out immediately. And so a week later, I was consulting with surgeons here in Beverly Hills.
Okay. Talk us through the process that you went through to start seeing surgeons and sort of how you got to a point of choosing a specific surgeon for your surgery.
Well, I think that my head was spinning a little bit. I made my first appointment with a surgeon who many of my friends had gone to for their surgery. Because I just, there are a lot of breast surgeons, let's be honest, in Beverly Hills, right? So my friends, several of them work in the industry. So I just said, I'll go to him first. Again, just thinking he does so many breasts, right? There have to be other women who have had these symptoms since I just was in a group with 100,000. So I walked into his office, to the consult, and we started talking. And we're just, he's getting some background. And then he said, you know, so why are you here today? I said, I'm here because I've been sick for over 7 years, and I think it's my breast implants. And he just immediately shut it down. I mean, well, there is no way you can be sick from your breast implants. I said, no, there is. Like, I'm just like being so innocent about it. I'm no, I just was in this group with over 100. It's possible, not knowing or realizing yet, like how this is like so political, right? It's just such a taboo topic in our industry. And so I'm kind of like, not arguing with him, but going in circles. I'm like, no, I really, but I'm sick. And so I have to, he's like, but we can put in a new pair. Let's put in some saline. You know, he even said like saline. Because, you know, if you had tuberous breasts, he's like, you're going to be deformed again. And I mean, he put me off so much that by the end, I always tell this story. I literally said to him, you let me worry about what it's going to look like because I can't feel like this anymore. And I mean, there's just no, I just intuitively knew, well, I'm not going to him. Right.
Yeah.
So I went to another surgeon who wasn't quite as rude, but still I could tell he wasn't a believer. And I just feel like a lot of women, when we speak to them, because I'm an advocate, they say, if the surgeon doesn't believe in it, like we just don't feel comfortable having our surgery with them. So I did something, like I said, that I'd never done before. And I went home and I prayed on it. I just never used prayer before and I can't believe I hadn't. I guess I just always felt like it was like asking for something and I felt like I've been given so much. I didn't want to ask for anything. And, I said, God, if you find me, this is my exact words. If you find me a surgeon who will take these out, I even believe it's going to look great. I'm just going to put all my faith in you, which is what you're supposed to do in life. With every situation, right? And so two, three days later, I tried Googling again, breast implant removal or explant Beverly Hills, and Dr. Kevin Brenner popped up. And I didn't know him, never met him, kind of seemed familiar, but I thought maybe I've seen him on TV, I don't know. And I went in with the same story. I could only wear sweats. I was so heavy with inflammation. I was pale. I mean, I must have looked like death warmed over. And I told him the whole story. And at the end, it was a totally different answer. He said, Amanda, I think it's time that we take these out and leave them out. And I just was blown away that finally somebody was listening to me. Finally, somebody was acknowledging that maybe perhaps this could be right. It was resonating with me. And I had my breast implants out 3 weeks later.
Wow. I see. I think I follow Dr. Brenner on Instagram. He's quite popular. So to get in that quickly, it was just meant to happen that way, wasn't it? Like,
I begged. I mean, I really said, could you please figure out a way to get me in as soon as possible? I was ready to go like the next day if he would have done it.
Yeah, you get to that point when you know that's what it is, or when you have that really deep feeling that it's your breast implants that's causing that illness, you just can't wait till they come out. And you do seem to, for me, I seem to notice my symptoms a lot more once I knew it was my implants. And I was heartbroken. Like, I had booked a consult with my original surgeon who put them in, and I caught COVID and then had to wait weeks before I could see her again. And like, that was hard. That was like the hardest month of my life, waiting to be able to see her, because yeah, I was ready. I was ready for this surgery. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because I hear it from every patient of ours. Once they book the surgery, because I check in, I help them prep for surgery. I help them in the weeks after surgery. I handhold them through their journey. So many have said to me, I feel like my symptoms have gotten worse since I booked. And I don't know, I just think that that's your body's way of communicating with you and saying, like, you're making the right decision. What else could it be?
Yeah. The way I look at that as well, like, I've had similar when I've had ovarian cysts, like there's a dull ache there, and you know, I'll have the scan, and once it's confirmed, I really feel the pain. It's like, I think as women especially, tend to mask pain, and with breast implant illness symptoms, so many of them can be like you know, you'd had the car accident, you'd gone through some emotional trauma. Same with me, like, and I like, you know, I was sort of approaching my mid-30s by the time I had my surgery, and you can just go, oh, maybe my hair's falling out because I was so stressed, or because of a result of previous anesthetic. Like, we just kind of mask it for so long, thinking, oh no, it might be this, it might be that. And then once you know, like, you just allow your body to feel it as well. I think that might be part of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what sort of preparation did you do when it came to leading up to your explant surgery?
Well, like I said, I knew that my lymph was stagnant. I learned a lot from my German naturopath friend about the lymph system and how its importance, and really the lack of knowledge I feel like practitioners have in the US. I became very passionate about it, because since a lot of the tests I was taking didn't show anything was wrong, and these doctors kept seeming to tell me, like, there's nothing wrong with you. The only thing I could really show them physically was my congested, stagnated lymph, my legs that are very lean. I'm a dancer, so, you know, they've always been quite lean, were swollen, so swollen, especially from the knee to the pelvis. And, you know, one of our major lymph ports is there in your pelvis too. And, you know, oh, I just kept going back and forth. Like, could this have been like a residual thing from another car accident I had in 2001 that was much more severe? Someone hit me 60 miles an hour from behind.
Oof.
Could this be from that? And eventually, you know, I lost the feeling in my legs. I had neuropathy.
My goodness.
That was about 2017. That was really scary. Really scary, because you just wonder, like, am I ever going to feel my legs again? And what is going on?
Mm.
And I love walking. And that was really, though, the only exercise I could do. And I couldn't even do it each day because the inflammation would ebb and flow and sometimes get much worse. And, you know, now I know so much more. I'm a health coach. I would have known more now how to reduce the inflammation, et cetera. But at the time, you know, I wasn't doing everything right at all. And so I guess, you know, so I was starting to do lymphatic massage. So that is the way too. I tell our patients to do a series of lymphatic massages before, after surgery, to kind of open up your detox pathways and get them flowing. You know, you don't have to, I always say, like, you don't have to take any of my advice. You know, it's just here for you if you need it. I didn't have, like I said, a long time. I only had 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but I would tell someone, you know, like, an anti-inflammatory diet, lean protein while you're healing is really wonderful to eat. You know, the diet's so important. I recommend juicing before surgery, after surgery. I was very acidic from the breast implants. So to alkaline your body, it's very nice to juice. Also, depending what kind of juicing you do, it's great for detoxing the kidneys and liver after having anesthesia. So these are all the things, having a more integrative practice, we try to teach our patients. And I just want to teach people to take great care of themselves. I mean, I've learned so much since I started studying all this in 2012. And I think that we just all have to have more knowledge around it.
Absolutely. Was there anything specific that you bought for the recovery for surgery, like any special pillows, or were you required to have a specific post-surgery bra or anything like that?
Well, we give all of our patients a wedge pillow because it's to their benefit to heal in a more, I'm like showing you, you know, inclined position. So we give them that. I've just created, and it will be out in October, a non-toxic breast balm to help nourish your scars after surgery and also encourage you to massage your lymph and do self-exams. So it's for all women, not just women from who have explanted and, you know, not just augmentation, just normal, everyone. So I remember being offered silicone scar strips and I said, no.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was like, please don't ever offer that to another woman who's just been sick from her silicone breast implants.
Yeah.
I actually, though, and people find this interesting because I am in the industry, and I went to Dr. Brenner. He's a reconstructive surgeon. I just knew that like he would leave me looking as good as possible. And I didn't even use anything in particular for my scars because I honestly, this sounds so funny, I wanted to be able to see them. And I kind of wish that they showed more. They actually have healed beautifully. I just have like a barely visible, you know, white thin scar around my areola and down from the anchor scar from my lift. Mm-hmm. And I wish you could see it more. So no, I wanted to do it really naturally. I don't like, I went and got a special detox plan or took a bunch of supplements after. In fact, I discourage, you know, doing a lot of supplements because our guts are not working properly.
There's a process you need to go through to heal that first before you do much else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to just see like what my body would do because I think our bodies are a miracle. And so slowly but surely the inflammation started going away. I started walking. At about week 4, I started doing the infrared sauna to just kind of like start sweating it out, continue to do lymphatic massage. My hair stopped falling out. My vision improved. I healed my gut in August of that year. So I waited, you know, like 7 or 8 months. I started working with a practitioner to balance my hormones and give my thyroid some love because it had really struggled during that time.
Same. Yeah.
So I would say that about a year and a half, I felt like I was starting to look myself. I look completely different. You couldn't even recognize me now looking back. I looked so sick now looking back. I just felt like I kept feeling myself and starting to look myself again. But it was like a year and a half. And I feel now like I live more holistically. I just keep getting better and better and feeling better and better.
Mm. I think, and I don't know whether this is a thing specifically for, you know, women who've been through breast implants, but when you don't live holistically, you notice it a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a day where I eat particularly badly, like my inflammation through my legs comes back and walking's painful again.
Yeah. Do you eat gluten? Yeah. And see, it's interesting because I was having that swelling again come back after my implants were out. I'm like in my legs again. I'm like, what is going on? They're like, think about it. Think of what you're eating. And I said, wait a minute. I love a good sandwich. And 2 days a week, I was getting this French roll at the neighborhood store for the sandwiches that I eat. Total gluten. So I love those sandwiches. Don't get me wrong. But I stopped. And you know, within, I think, 10 days, I had lost all of that edema just from the gluten, just from that one roll twice a week. Wow. So, you know, now I can eat it. Like I can go have that sandwich because it's like, if I don't eat it on a regular basis, I eat just a lot of veggies. But so anyway, it's interesting. But usually like I said that to other women, they're like, you're right. I actually do eat blah, blah, blah. And then they cut it out and then it gets better.
Yeah.
Like sugar, whatever the inflammatory agent might be.
What day exactly was your explant surgery and how are you feeling now?
February 21st, 2019, like I said, so now it's been what, 3.5 years?
But
like
4.5 years.
Wow. It's gone by so fast. I feel better than ever. I'm in my late 40s now. My hormones are balanced. Yeah, I'm going to be 50 this year.
No way.
And my body returned to how it was. I've always been very athletic and into working out. Still doing it today. I hike all the time. I spend more time out in the sun because, you know, I was always at a desk job in the past. And I just decided I can't do that anymore. It's just not healthy. I want to be outside living life and enjoying my life. So I go out in the sun now. I would say that I'm totally better. And sometimes I say that actually with some guilt, because I know that there are so many women who aren't totally better and have lingering illness. And I guess I would just say, like, you know, it's up to all of us how much we want to take our healing, physical, mentally, spiritually. And I'm working on myself every day. I mean, just today, I was realizing some shadow work that I was doing around my ego and work that I needed to do. I'm just going to keep getting better. I'm going to keep getting healthier. I'm going to keep learning to cook better because I definitely need to learn how to do that. So yeah. And I just would encourage anyone, like I always say this, if I can change my life, you know, and become holistic in my 40s, after having done Botox for 20 years, which I don't do anymore, getting my breast implants out, changing the way I eat, drink water, use products, anybody can do it.
Mm.
Honestly, and without, it's not, you think it's not as
without
hard as-
the Botox and the implants, like, my goodness, you're stunning. I would have thought you were closer to my age than, like, you know, nearing 50. You look amazing. So, you know, it's all paying off, all of the hard work that you're doing. You know,
yeah, well, I mean, inflammation ages us, and anybody's going to agree with that because it's true. And so, yeah, there were even some surgeons who said, you know, I don't even believe in breast implant illness, but you, I do have to say you do look younger since I've always kind of acted young. So,
yeah, I think that helps with anti-aging. I had someone tell me last night, oh, she's like, oh, you look like 28 to 32. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm 37 in a couple of months. But I think it's because, like, I've got a youthful outlook on life, or I try to. Sometimes it's hard, but, you know, I think that makes a difference.
I think so. I mean, I'm kind of silly, so.
Yeah, best way to be. Yeah. Do you want to talk us through the work that you do as the holistic beauty coach?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, that is kind of a long-winded name. I had another handle on Instagram, but it was really just pertaining to explants, and I didn't want people to just think of icky explant surgery every time they heard my name. So I thought, you know, I am a wellness coach, and the beauty thing I think is important because I've always been pretty natural. Well, I don't even know if I can say that right because I had the implants and I had Botox, but I've considered myself, like, I don't wear makeup, and I kind of always, like, was like an outside, naturey, beachy girl. And I have to say that, like, working in the industry, I never did a lot of the stuff that I could have, because I did realize that it caused a lot of inflammation, you know, the medical grade skincare products and all the lasers and all of these things. I would see girls who I, you know, worked with for years, and they looked so much older than me. So I kind of did get into holistic beauty and skincare in the early 2000s from my esthetician. She taught me about that. And so I thought, I really want to bring the concept of holistic beauty, make it bigger in Beverly Hills, the beauty capital. Why shouldn't we celebrate all types of beauty? Ethnic beauty, holistic beauty, the beauty now that's kind of, you know, the cheeks and the bigger lips, and to each his own. I'm not telling anyone what to do. I get it. We all have our preferences. And I'm not even telling women, like, all get your breast implants out. If you're not feeling sick or don't have symptoms, when I have a patient who calls and says, well, I'm not experiencing those, I say, great. I don't want one person to be sick. I just wanted to be here for any woman who is, because I just know what a difference it would have made for me if I had just had one person to talk to. That's it. So I just wanted to be that person. Didn't know that it was going to end up to be such a big thing, or, you know, how controversial it truly is. They block me on Instagram because they don't want people to see what I have to say. And I'm just sharing my experience. I'm not angry at anybody. I am a very level-headed person. I'm not trying to ban them. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future with that. Not trying to take away anyone's livelihood. I think the plastic surgery industry, it's been good to me because I've worked in it for a long time. And I know how many people have really benefited from it. So I help our patients. I do a discovery call with all patients coming to Dr. Brenner's practice before they are seen for their consult. I am a wellness coach. So I help them with prepping their body for surgery. I handhold them through the journey. And afterwards, if they'd like, a lot of them have already found practitioners because they've been sick for a while. So some of them will go to those practitioners. I also created a holistic breast team to help our patients, if they would like, after surgery, to heal their gut, to balance their hormones, etc. And then I'm also, like I said, working on my breast balm. And I have a couple of other business ventures that are just kind of starting. The Lymph Lounge, which is just an educational website about your lymph and how to keep it healthy, etc. So it's under construction now. So yeah, that's what I do, is a holistic beauty coach.
That sounds like amazing work that you're doing. I wish there was someone that I could have spoken to in the lead up to my explant surgery, because it's very clinical, a whole clinical experience. Like, you know, book your surgery and pay for your anaesthetist, like, you know, come in on this date and that was it. There wasn't that other side of things, that follow up. But yeah, that's amazing work you did.
Yeah, I think it helps. I mean, I want patients to feel comforted. It's scary for everyone. Everybody's nervous before, of course. You don't know what to expect. Any surgery is nerve-wracking. But, you know, this one in particular, for some women, like we discussed earlier, they didn't have a lot of breast tissue and they like their breasts. And so to have to get them out, I do feel for them, right? Because, see, I didn't care. I just wanted them out anyway. I do feel for them. This is a really difficult, and I'm so proud of these women. They're so strong. They've been through so much, been sick for years in some cases, still raising their children, still working each day and putting food on the table for their families. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But I know that it's making a difference. I know that they're happy once they get them out and start feeling better. So again, that's all I want to do, is just help the ones who need my help. And that's it. And if there's anything that can do to better our industry, then so be it. Happy to help.
Yeah, that's amazing. If you could go back and, you know, talk to your younger self before you had breast implants, what would you say?
Well, I was just talking to my friend about this the other day at lunch. And I said, you know, for me, since I had what I considered a deformity, would I do it again? And I think for me, that's such a hard question to answer, because this is what I feel my purpose is. So if I hadn't gone through it, then I wouldn't have my purpose, right? And I love these women and meeting them and connecting with them. So for that reason, even though it was horrible, I would do it again, right? And I get it, that we're supposed to accept our bodies for how God made us, you know, and I think that's a beautiful sentiment. But for some people, when you're faced with this, I can also understand why in my 20s, since I could afford to do something about it, why I wanted to do something about it. And I do not hold that against myself. I hear a lot of patients and it makes me sad. I always say, like, let's start with forgiving ourselves first. That's where we start. I've never, ever been upset with myself for it, or... No, I've never been upset with anybody. It is just simply something that I was supposed to go through. That's it.
Yeah.
And I just don't harbor anger, you know? So what would I say to my 20-year-old? I don't know. I mean, just in general, be easier on yourself. I still am hard on myself today. So just overall, be easier on yourself.
Yeah. What is one thing that you wish you knew before getting breast implants?
I do wish, and again, it wouldn't have been a good sales tactic on their part to say, there is a condition that some women have experienced with breast implants that can affect your immunity, can throw your hormones off, can cause autoimmune illness. Even though at the time I would have said, oh, I don't think there's any autoimmune in my family. Like, I still wouldn't have stopped from doing it, because, you know, you think you're totally resilient at that age. So I just thought, oh, I will never get sick. Even if they had said it, I still would have gotten them, just FYI. But I wish they had at least warned me, because then when I started getting sick, maybe I would have thought of that sooner. And again, would have been a chance that I would have taken anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone can find me on Instagram, The Holistic Beauty Coach. I work for Kevin Brenner, MD. That is his handle on Instagram and his website, kevinbrennermd.com. And yeah, no, we're just happy to see these women getting better and just happy to be this part of this journey with them. I mean, I've had patients who have now gotten pregnant since getting them out and have gotten married one last week. And they said, you know, I just couldn't have done this if I wasn't feeling well still. So that feels really nice. I know our whole office feels so happy to get to experience all of this.
That's amazing. Thank you for all of the work that you do for all of these women experiencing this, both through your Instagram and through the work you do with Dr. Brenner. That's amazing.
Thank you. I feel really lucky to be able to do it, and it's my pleasure.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us. I'll pop all of your contact details and Dr. Brenner's contact details in the show notes for this episode. But yeah, thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with me.
Thank you. Nice seeing you, Bianca.
This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_ii_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.